Well, little children, before they even know how to read, can look at and recognize signs. I mean, if you've ever traveled with a child in your car, you know they can see a McDonald's sign from miles away. While you're focused on the road or the scenery, the child is looking for those kinds of signs that promise burgers and chicken nuggets and worthless plastic toys. And like children, Jesus expects you to be able to read the signs around you. You're expected to be able to see the distress of nations, the decline of civilization, and the degradation that comes with fear as clearly as signs in sun and moon and stars. Now, I used to believe that older people were crazy. Older folks always seem to be claiming that the world is getting worse. But I don't know, maybe because I'm getting older, I see it. The world is getting worse. The weather really is more extreme. There are all kinds of doomsday threats hanging over us. Russia, North Korea, and the Middle East are all led by crazy people who have bombs and nuclear weapons. And on top of that, we're threatened by terrorists or gunmen. Antibiotics seem to have quit working. We might run out of water. We might run out of oil. The government might make Christianity more and more difficult to practice. Who knows? What we do know is that the world is not getting better. Our sins have polluted the world. Creation is falling apart. Men's hearts are failing them, and violence is on the rise. But none of this should be a surprise. Jesus foretold it. I mean, he told us to take notice. And having taken notice, we're not now supposed to go run off and hide somewhere. But he tells us to pray and to straighten up and lift up your heads. Right? You don't walk with your backs bent and your heads down as if being burdened or in sorrow. Jesus gives us foresight and hope. And he does this by telling us about the fig tree. These horrible things that are occurring in the world are to be interpreted like buds on a fig tree. Notice what this means. It's not winter that is coming. It is summer. I think people always have in their mind, when it comes to the end of the world, they think of winter or desolation. But it's not destruction and desolation and famine that's coming. It's summer. The fig tree is budding. And so for the faithful, a harvest and a feast. Your redemption draws near. The devil, the world, and our fallen flesh are thrashing about in death throes. And yeah, it can be horrific and terrifying and devastating, but they will all pass away. Thanks be to God, they'll all pass away. But the word of the Lord will not pass away. And so watch yourselves, says the Lord, lest you think the death of this life is somehow a loss, and you get caught up in the wrong things, and you give yourself over to despair. Because Jesus doesn't tell you all of these signs so that you can now fix things. He doesn't tell you this so that you can just stand around and wring your hands in worry. And he doesn't tell you that you need to go off and build some bunker in the ground to retreat into. He tells you that these signs mean the kingdom draws near, and that you should rejoice, and you should pray. Your redemption draws near. Your redemption continuously draws near. And so if the seas rise and the polar ice caps melt and the earth itself burns, so what? Your redemption draws near. The harvest and bounty is coming. What was taken will be restored. What was broken will be healed. What was sinful will be sanctified. There will be a reunion in a new heaven and a new earth. Satan and his minions will be bound at last so that you're finally free to be what you were meant to be, a child of God. So straighten up, raise your heads, look not to the fallen earth or to presidents or to Congress. And by all means, don't look to Facebook or blogs or the media. Your redemption is drawing near. And so are you going to meet him or resist him? Are you going to join the angels blowing trumpets and singing, or close yourself off and cling to the things of this world? It's not just Christmas that's coming. The last day, the time when heaven and earth pass away, when horrors and terror will be on every hand, that is coming. But it will not be a horror for the baptized who are now trapped in prison, caught in the web of their sins, waiting for their redemption to draw near. They will rejoice and leap like calves from their stalls. They will exult and lift up their heads. And it isn't just the last day that's coming. Even now, right now, the Lord himself comes. He comes here and now, right into the midst of your guilt, your shame, your fears, and your sorrows. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draws near now, here, in this place. He speaks in his word, and his spirit stirs your heart, and you believe. His absolution presents you to his Father as his own dear, immaculate, and holy bride. He comes now in the flesh and enters into you with his risen body and blood, consummating the marriage, strengthening your faith, and forgiving your sins. Echoing the Lord's words from today's gospel, I'll soon stand there and command, lift up your hearts. And you'll say, we lift them up unto the Lord. And what you mean by this is that you want to stop thinking about other stuff. However inattentive you've been to this point in the service, whatever grudges you might have been holding, whatever lusts or fantasies you might have been indulging in, forsake all such sin now. Repent and come before the Lord's risen body and blood with awe and joy and thanksgiving. You lift up your hearts to the Lord where they belong, not high in heaven, but you lift them up to the altar, not to be sacrificed, but you lift them to the altar where he promises to be for you, so that you can receive the benefit and blessing of the one who sacrificed himself for you on the cross. You lift up your hearts now, here, to receive him as worthily as you might. That is, with faith and confidence that his word is true, and that his invitation is valid and makes you worthy, that he's here for you and truly forgives your sins. This is your redemption, your Christ who draws near. The one who died for you and has declared you righteous before his Father now comes in word and sacrament to bless you and encourage you. And soon he will also come in glory, and he will finish the good work that has begun in you. Your joy now pales in comparison to the joy of that holy day. And so by grace you can lift up your heads, and you can shout for joy at the coming of the Lord now and in glory, because you are forgiven all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.